This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome back to the Tomahawk Take podcast. It's Alan Carpenter and Fred Owens with you. Say hi,
hello.
Fred.
Hello. Hi, Fred.
We're here. We're in a good mood because the Atlanta Braves are just about to clinch the NL East, despite all our concerns and hand-wringing and concern trolling that we've been doing over the last month. They have put everything together and come up with a set of wins the last week that has propelled them to the top and kept them out of the reach of the Philadelphia Phillies, who are about to go down swinging again tonight, and we'll see how that all transpires. But in the meantime, we're about to have some playoff baseball on our hands next week, and that's a good thing. What we've seen the last week is that after that suspended game in San Diego, where the Braves were already down a run when it started and then finished down a run, the Braves swept the rest of the series against the Padres and have come out now and are on the verge of sweeping off the Philadelphia Phillies in two critical series that had not only just playoff implications, but playoff sort of style and feel to them as has been going on. So we've been seeing the best of the Atlanta Braves so far this week, and hopefully we're going to see the best of it as we go along here. So, Fred, tell me how in the world the Braves managed to pull it off in San Diego. Let's start there.
Boy, smoke and mirrors. The Padres kept coming back, and then we would come back. I expected the Padres to play a lot better than they did, and they didn't play very well at times. They didn't pitch as well as I thought they probably would. But it just seemed like every time they got their nose in front, like when Machado hit that ball to the other side of Orange County, I was certain that was it. And then we come back and get the lead right back. Okay, we ended up not winning the game, but still, the team decided they weren't going to lose, and somehow Will Smith loaded the bases twice and didn't allow a run. I'm not sure how that's even possible, but it was just, I just think that they just weren't going to lose. Even extra inning, I don't think anything was going to bother them. I think they were going to win. Once Smith blew that first game, they said, well, that's it. We're not doing that crap anymore. And they just went out and won. And they carried that back with them. And the Phillies are feeling the wrath.
Yeah, this is something that we haven't seen a lot of out of Atlanta, is the notion that they go off to the West Coast and start winning ball games. And they did that in Arizona. They did that in San Diego. And I honestly think that's going to help their psyche if and when they have to go out to the West Coast again for a playoff series, which would be possible if they can get by Milwaukee. This is real good. I don't know how they did it either. I saw some improvements going as we're going along, but I mean, think about it. On the Saturday and Sunday games in San Diego, we were up to the fourth and fifth starting rotation slots. And I say slots because right now there's pretty much nobody who's really filling those slots. We've talked about the fact that the Braves really don't have any confidence in anybody that can roll out right there. Tukey has been relegated to AAA. Wascar Yanoa is pitching because there's really nobody else, frankly. What ended up happening Saturday and Sunday were effectively bullpen games, and yet they won both of them. So that right there meant that they're way ahead of the game. And it also helped set them up for nice 1-2-3 against Philadelphia, which is exactly what the doctor ordered, exactly what they needed. And so far they're pulling that off.
Yeah. The one thing I noticed out there that we briefly mentioned before is coming on, Dansby Swanson starting to hit the ball to right field again.
Yep.
And that's an indication that Dansby's swing is coming back. And we've seen that against Philadelphia. When Dansby starts hitting the ball to the opposite field with authority, then his home runs will come to left, his home runs will come to right. But when he's hitting that gap in right center field, he's dangerous. And he's feeling, I think he's feeling the championship of the season coming, and his swing's getting back in the groove. And if you've got the skills and you know how to do it, the mental part of the game is big, and I think that's big, particularly for Swanson. And this time of year, I think, is good for him.
Yeah, timing is everything. And for a while there in September, he was hitting, I think, something like a $130 on the month. And obviously something had to change there. He's been dropped in the order, but again, but at the same time, you're right. He's been having better at bats. He's been driving the ball better. He didn't get the results really in San Diego. I think he did have one three-hit game, something like that. But a lot of the results were still balls being stung at people that didn't fall for hits. But at the same time, you still could see that and think, yeah, something's about to happen. I mean, heck, tonight's game, as we're watching here, there was a sequence where Travis d'Arnaud got into a funk of not being able to lay off Kyle Gibson's slider. And Gibson threw three pitches 6 inches to a foot outside, and Travis flailed at every one of them. Dansby then comes up immediately afterwards. Gibson throws two of those outside again, and Dansby just spit on him. He didn't offer him at all, and then ended up drawing a walk. That is not the kind of Dansby Swanson we were seeing at the beginning of September, and certainly what he's done later now in this game, a ringing double off the right center field wall, is real good news. So the Braves have got their long lineup back again, effectively. They've got guys who can hit from 1 to 8. Freddie Freeman's struggling, but I'm chalking that up to good pitchers making sure that he didn't beat them. Unfortunately, there's 8 guys in the lineup that can beat you right now, and that's why Philadelphia is losing these first 2 games, is because the Braves have been doing that.
Part of that long lineup is Riley coming out of that 2-week funk when he was hitting like 240 with a 670 or something OPS. When he came out of that funk, he came out of it hard, and he's been since that time, since the first 2 weeks, he's been back to the guy who right after the All-Star break started destroying pitching again. And that makes it really hard for a pitcher. He said, well, I'll get by Freeman, and oh wait, there's Riley and there's Duvall, and and where'd this Soler guy come from? Wasn't he crapping Kansas City? Although he did hit Kyle Gibson for 450 feet home run in 2019. But all of a sudden, all these guys who have this baggage are playing well, and all the guys who were in a funk are coming out of it. And like you said, the lineup is long, it's deep, and if you make a mistake to any of them, it's a souvenir.
And they're doing it against the kind of pitching you were going to expect to see in the playoffs. I mean, at least with the case of Wheeler. Aaron Nola, Kyle Gibson, can't quite put them in that kind of category, but at the same time, they're still the best that Philadelphia had to offer, and Atlanta's hit them, at least it's hit them enough that they're getting some runs on the board. And the 1-2-3, Morton, Fried, and Anderson are certainly doing their part to shut this team down. So if this is a microcosm of what we expect next week, then I think the chances may be improving for Atlanta, maybe do something next week.
Well, now, Nola had a bad first couple of innings. And then all of a sudden he got like 10 or 12 in a row out. Yeah. I mean, he found his groove, and when Nola's in his groove, he's really good. He started rough. We got to him early, but yeah, he's not had a great season either, but there was a stretch there when the Braves were just looking at the ball going, where'd that come from? I didn't see that. Where'd that? They just do anything with him there for like 3 innings. And Girardi was going to ride Nola until he collapsed in a lather because he didn't have anybody else to bring in. So I think the Nola, I'm a Nola fan. I like to see him on the mound. He's the better pitcher than he showed this year. But I think for that middle part of that game, he was pitching right up there with Wheeler for the best part of it. So I don't want to take too much away from the lineup on this. They've been very patient, and we won the first 2 games of this series without a home run. And yeah, that's been hard for us to do this year. You know, like 25% of the time we didn't hit a home run. Well, we didn't win the game. We had to hit a home run to win the game. So these guys are good. They're now turning into people who are actually spitting on bad pitches and trying to hit the ball hard and trying to hit it far.
Let's look at now the rest of the playoff picture for the majors. The National League is pretty cut and dried at this point, with one position left to determine. That's the National League West order of events. And even so, that one is, that's going to be hard to change. That's right now, the Giants are not losing. The Dodgers can't win enough to overcome them. It's a two-game margin. So it's really looking like the Dodgers' streak of division titles in a row is going to come to an end this weekend, and the Giants are going to take it, relegating the Dodgers to a play-in game against the St. Louis Cardinals, who finally lost.
Which I hope goes 15 innings.
Which I hope goes 15 innings as well. But right now, I kind of like the Cardinals' chances, because they're a team that's got some momentum, and I don't know that anybody really wants to play them. But hey, this is what you get with a wild card game. It's winner take all, and winner moves on. So the Dodgers have essentially made their bed by not being able to overcome the Giants, and now they're going to have to sleep in it with a game against the Cardinals middle of next week. So that's probably in the offing. Then the winner of that wild card game is going to face the winner of the West, probably the Giants again. Meanwhile, the Braves look like they're set up to play the Milwaukee Brewers. They had split the season series 3 games apiece, so no real obvious advantage there. Everybody's going to have their best ready to go starting next Friday night, and we'll just have to see how it goes. Between the pitching and the hitting, these teams really look like they're about even in my estimation. What do you think, Fred? Have we got anything in particular that stands out to you?
Well, on the Dodgers thing, everybody talks about the Giants' magic number. The Dodgers' magic number is 7, and there's only 4 games for them left to play. So they have to come up with some version of them winning 3 or 4 and the Giants losing 3 or 4. And if they do that and they end up with the same record, they play the Giants in a 163 play-in game on Monday in San Francisco.
Yep.
And because the Giants have the home field advantage because they beat the Dodgers 10 times out of 19 this year, 10-9. The Brewers team is a typical Craig Council team. They're just greater than the sum of their parts. They don't have the guy. They don't have, old Darryl Segura doing a thing, doing us a favor. I'm sorry.
we take these errors, yes.
Yeah, we'll take all errors are taken with kindness. But I guess Willie Adames has been the guy. But if you look around their lineup, they don't really have – if you say, well, who's the superstar? You go, well, Lorenzo Cain. Yelich, yes, but he hasn't been Yelich this year. Mm-hmm. So you got Yelich and Cain, Adames, and then name the rest of the team. Colton Wong, yeah, okay. Who's playing first? Is that Suarez? He played first. I don't know, but they're greater than the sum of the parts, and that's part of that is Craig Council's running of the team. He's far better manager than people give him credit for. The problem he's had is Devin Williams punched a wall when he got drunk. Why would you do that? I don't even know why you're getting drunk this time of year. I mean, gee whiz, guys. But he took away his 7th-inning guy. Now, they have a bullpen full of horses, and I'm fairly confident that Freddie's going to score from first base.
Yes, we're going to need some more oxygen in the dugout. Travis d'Arnaud may be done with it by now, so you can pass it over to Freddie. It's 4-0 Atlanta.
And Ozzie's on 3rd. The Brewers are a thinking team. They don't care about the name on the back of the jersey. They play for that team to win the game, figuring that a rising tide brings all ships. And that's the way that's why they've been as consistent as they've been with players that, okay, Loquet's old, long, he can't hit. And Adames, well, he was expendable. And by the way, don't ever trade with the Rays. and Adames is expendable, and then you get Suarez, and he's never played this, that, the other, and all of a sudden he's hitting home runs there. So I think they're well managed. I think he's probably, if I was going to say, he's probably the best manager in the league right now. And they're well managed and well run, and they buy into the way they do things. So that's what makes them tough. Now, if we can get our pitchers lined up, our 1-2-3 against them, we can be tough too. And then we're going to hit more home runs than they're going to hit. It's going to be a fight between the lineups and the commitment and the way they hit the good pitching. It's going to be a hell of a series. I think it's going to be a great series to watch. And I'm looking forward to that.
Interesting stat. The Milwaukee Brewers are 50-28 away from County Stadium, or whatever they're calling it these days. 50-28 on the road. That's pretty good. And if I recall correctly, they did beat the Braves 2 out of 3 in Truist Park and vice versa. But still, that's an interesting little tidbit there. Yeah, I'm thinking that if we can, I mean, we're not going to beat their bullpen. We're going to need to beat their starters. And there is a history where the Braves have gotten to them, wasn't able to finish off a couple of those games, but they have gotten to the starters. So they can certainly do that. And if our starters can keep their lineup at bay, and I think they can, then there's going to be a good shot at that. Let me get to the American League now real quick. That is a weird and wild dogfight. Seattle has gotten themselves into the playoff picture. Again, smoke and mirrors. A lot of things like that have been going on. The Yankees are currently, well, as I speak, the Yankees have a one-game lead in the wild card, the first wild card position over the Red Sox. And there's another game back before you get to the Blue Jays, with Seattle sandwiched in between the Red Sox and Blue Jays. As we speak, though, the Orioles are beating the snot out of the Red Sox. It's 6-1 in the seventh inning. The Blue Jays are beating the Yankees. The Mariners are off tonight, so they get to watch and point and laugh at all these things going on. But it looks like there could be a dead-on tie between the Red Sox and Yankees the Blue Jays and the Red Sox tonight, and then the Yankees still just a whisper ahead of them, while Seattle is creeping up by not even having to play. So this weekend is going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out. I'm still thinking the Yankees are the team in trouble because they've got the worst schedule. The Red Sox should be beating everybody. They've got the Orioles, and I think they've got the Nationals to go. But right now, it's hard to say how that's going to play out. But whoever does get out of the wild card has to play the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's going to be a very difficult task for anybody. Meanwhile, the White Sox get to go to Houston. At least right now, that's the order of events, is that the White Sox will be traveling to Houston to play that other divisional series matchup. Right now, I like the Astros, I like the Rays, and I like the Rays to come out of the American League as their representative of the World Series. We'll see how that transpires. But, Fred, what have you been seeing with all this going on?
Well, I was, you know, they were running these numbers today, and I'm thinking, well, you could see at tomorrow, you could have two teams on 90 and two teams on 89 games going into the weekend, and the Yankees have to play the Rays. I don't think that bodes well for the Yankees, because I don't think the Rays like them very much.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Boston goes to the Nationals, and the Nationals aren't going to offer much in the way of opposition, but that's what we said about Baltimore. And the Baltimore team, where people misunderstand the Baltimore team, is that they're going to score runs. The lineup produces runs. They do very well, but they score a lot of runs. And if they hang a big crooked number on you early and get to a bullpen like the Red Sox has got lately, they can win the games. So it doesn't surprise me that they win when they hang that crooked number on you. I think we're going to have a game 163 in the American League on Monday, and we could easily have two, and that would be wonderful. That would be great. That would be great. It would drive the networks crazy, but it would be great, great theater, and it would give somebody give the American League teams that aren't there, the White Sox and Astros, going, man, just beat yourselves up. I mean, just go up, just have fun.
Bring the popcorn.
I have this sneaking feeling that Dusty's going to get a ring this year. The Astros lineup is tough. It is, they give up nothing at the plate, nothing. And Dusty has quietly taken another team to the postseason in a full season. And Greinke's probably going to be a reliever in the postseason. And they've got good pitching. And if it's Astros Rays, I think it's Astros. I just think there's a time that the baseball god said, damn it, Dusty, you deserve this. I was never a great fan of Dusty, but this job he's done in Houston after the debacle of the scandal and everything with players hurt and the COVID thing. I just think Dusty might win that over there. I don't know. But boy, I think Dusty might just do it. And if that happens, and the Braves, it's not the Braves in the World Series, then I hope Dusty does it. Otherwise, I hope Dusty loses to Snitker in the World Series. But I think Dusty's going to come out of the American League. I could be off base, but it's just a feeling. I think that Astros team, nobody's talking about them because they're just quietly kicking everybody's ass. And everybody wants, oh, what's the Yankees doing? They spent all that money. Oh, look at Boston. They spent all that money. And the Astros are a better team. The Astros better need to one of them. And frankly, they're better than White Sox, too. So
The Rays have figured out how to win in the AL East without spending a lot of money. You're right.
Well, sure. I mean, and the Astros spent some money, but nobody's talking about them. And I just think, who have you heard talking about the Astros this year? Who's been talking about Alex Bregman, who, by the way, didn't play most of the year? Oh, Correa is going to be a free agent. We hear about him, but you haven't heard about Framber Valdez or Yuri Gurriel or Altuve's having a hell of a year again. And nobody knows who the catcher is. And Michael Brantley, by the way, may win the batting title.
Yes.
And who's talking about them? Nobody's talking about them that I've heard. They pass them, they give them their 3 minutes or whatever, but everybody rants about the Yankees and everybody rants about the Red Sox. They're ranting now about the White Sox. But I think that the team they're ignoring could easily do it.
Yeah, you're right. I see the offenses of the Astros and Rays very similarly. They don't give away at bats. They don't go for the long ball all the time. They do what they need to do with the pitches that they're given, and they take advantage of every break that they're handed from the opposition. They do things quite differently and on the pitching side, in that anybody in the Rays has to be ready to go on almost a moment's notice to get on the mound and go off and do something. But that's working for them for whatever reason.
Didn't work in the World Series for them.
Didn't work
in
it well, because they decided that Snell was done. But if it comes down to Houston versus Rays, I think that's going to be a fascinating series as well. And the reason I'm discounting the Chicago White Sox, by the way, is because they've kind of been on cruise control for most of the season. They really haven't beat up the teams they've had to beat up. Even when they got all their guys back from injury, they didn't really turn on the Jets like everybody expected. They've got a losing record on games on the road. I just don't know that they're the battle-hardened team that you need to be to do something in the playoffs. So I think that while we're both sort of seem to be dismissing them, I think it's for good reason. So yeah,
I'm not dismissing him. I think La Russa's made a mistake by. I don't think Kimbrel's happy in the eighth inning.
No,
he's not. And Rodon pitched all right last night and looked pretty good, but his fastball's been down. Hendricks is really good most of the time, but he can be not good all of a sudden. That's really picking fly eyelashes out of black pepper. I mean, because Kendricks is a stud. Now, don't get me wrong. I just think that when you've got Kimbrel and Hendricks, it's just, I know it sounds good, but I think it's just too much of one thing. And I don't think the personalities line up very well there. And I don't think that, and I don't think La Russa's personality lines up with any of them guys. I think they're winning because they're just better. And when they're, when they need somebody to bring some cohesion to them, I don't think La Russa's doing that. And I think if there's, and that's, you know, that I think is part of the reason that they don't travel so well. And I just think, I agree with you. I think they're just stumbling and they're going to be sitting on there and they're cold and they're coming in there and they could look up and be down three games before or two games in a five game series before they spit. And, then, and Keuchel's not been good in the postseason. And, I just think unlike you, they'll fight, but I just don't think they'll win.
Yeah. There's a couple teams in the American League that I think it's just not quite their year. Certainly the White Sox have the talent. I just don't think they have the experience to do what's necessary to get themselves to the playoffs. And you're right. The leadership is a little sketchy, this year. It's La Russa seems to be there, but not really there and not maybe communicating with his players the way they ought. We've heard certainly a lot of anecdotal things out of Chicago that seem to suggest that. The other team I think is talented and not quite their year is Seattle. And they did some odd things at the trade deadline that kind of ended up working for them, I guess. But they're going to be a team to watch in the near future because the things that they've got going already, their farm system's excellent. Their players coming up are doing well. They do have some holes that are going to need to fill in the near future, but they're going to have the ability to do that. So I think that Seattle's going to be a force to be reckoned with soon. But not this year, I'm afraid. So I think
Seattle and the Blue Jays are the most fun teams to watch right now.
Absolutely. I mean,
when they're on the field, that they're Bo Bichette hit that ball, beat the Yankees last night. They were down. The Yankees were up 5-0. All of a sudden, they were down 6-5. What the hell? And and Mitch Haniger, I didn't know whether he was going to be able to come back from all those injuries he had, but boy, he's been a force in the American League this year. And they traded for Toro, and Toro's been magnificent for them. And their bullpen hasn't suffered. You got to say that you can say what you want about Trader Jerry, but by golly, he knew what he was doing there. Maybe the guy he thought he was going to get, he didn't, but he did pretty well filling the hole. So they're fun to watch. And again, I don't think either one of them is going to win it this year, but boy, I sure like watching these play. And if I could stay up long enough to see the Mariners, I'd watch them too.
Here's an update. Top of the sixth, Gleyber Torres has just hit a homer, and that came on top of another run that I didn't notice. The Yankees have just jumped out in front of the Blue Jays, 5-2. So that could help out the Yankees' cause for sure, and put a monkey wrench into the Blue Jays' hopes if that score holds up. But we'll see how that one goes. But
it's good for the Mariners.
After we're done. It's good for the Mariners. That's true, because they need some team to sort of take charge for that first slot and some team to go away or start playing badly. And if it's the Blue Jays, then that certainly solidifies their chances. And right now, it looks, if things finish up the way they are right now, Yankees would have the number one slot and the Red Sox would be tied with the Mariners.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the Mariners have the privilege of sitting out there and watching the teams in the East beat each other to death.
Yep. Absolutely. What they've done against the Oakland A's is fascinating. I can't believe that Oakland basically has stuck the fork in themselves. It seems like they've mailed in September. I don't know what their total record is for September, but it isn't good. They're 3-7 in their last 10 and keep getting swept by the Mariners. Whatever magic Jerry DePoto's group has over Oakland is working very well.
Yeah, it's a mess, and Bob Melvin's a good manager, but I think Oakland's a victim of their inability to hold on to the good players. I mean, why is Semien not with Oakland? You've got a guy like Marcus Semien. He grew up there. Washington turned him into a great infielder. He's clubbed 44 homers this year. Who's playing second base for you? You had Elvis Andrus at shortstop, for Pete's sake. I just think they remind me of, they just say, well, I can get 2% better if I do this. But when the Rays do that, they actually get 2% better. And the A's seem to get, the A's seem to go back. I mean, you go back to the Donaldson trade, Brett Laurie. I mean, really? You go back there and the A's always seem to trip over it. And I've said for a long time, Billy Beane is not a good general manager. He's not. He's not won anything that was winnable. I mean, and he says, oh, I can't win the postseason. Well, what the hell are you doing? Isn't that your job? Isn't that your job to get your team into the postseason with a chance to win? And he says his stuff doesn't work in the postseason. Maybe he should get somebody's stuff who does.
Imagine the difference in the fortunes of the Blue Jays and the A's had Simeon been re-signed with Oakland. They spent a little bit of money and kept him on the payroll. That would have been a big turnaround. Everybody talks about Vlad Guerrero being the MVP of the Blue Jays and possibly the league. But it's Simeon who's really come on strong this summer and has almost matched what Vlad has done.
Well, the right side of their infield's got 85 home runs.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I think you take that, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the infield for the Braves almost all having 30 homers. 85 out of first and second base. Yeah, that'll play.
And Bichette's got 26, I think.
Yeah, so there's a lot of thumping going on out there that Oakland would really dearly love to have right now. But there you go. That's the way they are being run right now, and it's not necessarily a good thing.
The Las Vegas Athletics, because they aren't going to get a stadium in Oakland. They're just not.
No, they're not.
It's just the money. California is just in too bad a shape. And they weren't going to get it anyway because the environmental requirements for the, out there was just going to be too much. You look at what they've done to other things that they tried to build out there that were related to actual, power stations and other things that are needed for the utilities. And you say, well, if they can't build that, how are they going to build a ballpark?
Yeah, and the A's came up with a plan for – you know, a ballpark and infrastructure around it and retail and housing and all that sort of mimicked the model of what we've seen all around the league, St. Louis, Colorado, the Battery, Atlanta, and the city council basically said, no, that's not their plan we've got. And so
they don't mind a building that they weren't going to build any streets so people get to it.
Well, not only that, but they took all the housing and decided they want to make it low-cost, affordable housing, which is kind of a laugh in San Francisco anyway, but that essentially destroyed the entire plan right there.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, that I just think that Oakland is really one of the smaller draw areas for a major league team, and I think that and being in California is going to hurt. And that's where I look at the people who want to put teams in Portland. And I say, really? No, ain't going to work. I want to put a team in Mexico. Really? No, that ain't going to work either. I know expansion's a great idea, but if you keep diluting the product, eventually it's not the product anymore. And you have to be realistic about who can afford to go to the games. And I'm going to tell you the average family in Mexico can't afford to go to the games. And there aren't enough people who will go to the games in Portland to support a team. Be great for the Mariners, but, that just isn't going to work. I don't think it'll work. And I really don't think Nashville's a place either because, gee whiz, the next team needs to be west of the Mississippi, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the problem. Nashville, I think, could support a team. As it is, they've got a NFL team and an NHL team. But, yeah, you can't take a team out of the west and put them on in the central time zone, really. That just doesn't work. I don't know that Las Vegas works either, personally, because if you're going to – even if you can get a million or 2 million people to the games there, what you've got is a whole lot of vacationers out there who aren't really loyal to a particular team. And whereas you could probably pull it off with the NFL and the Raiders, that's only once a week for a limited time of the year. But to do it 6 months and 81 games, that's a tall order for a town like
Las Vegas. Well, the ice hockey team doesn't. Yeah, but the ice hockey team draws 8,000 people.
And it's
indoors, and you know you're wearing a coat because you're in an ice arena, and it's not 81 games. There's people just, well, you know, they do this. The Bagwell are bad. They've got a basketball team and they've got this. Nah, I'm sorry. That doesn't work. And Dansby has another hit.
Dansby does. Yes. So what do you do? Vancouver? Someplace like that?
Vancouver's not a bad idea, but they're not much bigger. Nobody likes my idea, but I'm telling you, we have too many teams. We have too many teams.
We do.
I would merge the Marlins and the Rays, and I would merge the Oakland with either the Angels or the Dodgers or Angels or the Giants, and I would drop this to 28 teams, and I would get this back to something kind of normal. I just think we've got way too many teams, and if you look at the players, we've got too many pitchers who shouldn't be in the wearing a major league. I mean, you know, you've got guys 36 years old that throw the ball once, they're out on injury list for 6 weeks because they pulled an old muscle. And you got people coming in to getting contracts who really don't have the talent to play against these younger guys. And you wonder why games are taking so long, and you wonder why people are injured. And I just think there's too many teams, and they're badly organized. C-League, it's the only thing Bud C-League had right when he got in office. We have too many teams. We need to drop a number. And then he added to a team.
So, yeah, because that didn't go over well with the owners, unfortunately.
Well, no.
As you would expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, they got their $2 billion they want to get back.
That's right.
And I understand that, but there's got to be a way. You know, if you want to save the sport and you want to keep the sport competitive and you want, you know, if you merge, and this isn't going to happen, but if you merge the Rays with the Marlins, you have a ballpark.
Yes.
And we give it hell, but it's a nice ballpark. And you've got, then you automatically have a competitive team and you have money and you have a minor league system that's probably the best in either league. And all of a sudden, it's not going to happen. I know that there's a zillion reasons not for it to happen, but it's probably not the answer. And certainly splitting your season between Tampa and Montreal is not the answer either.
No.
So I don't know what baseball's going to do. They're going to trip and stumble until somebody goes bankrupt doing this.
Well, that gets into a whole nother discussion that we're going to table for another time about the minor leagues and the player development and how to get more talent to the majors. But we've got an entire offseason to discuss things like that coming up here in the next couple of months. But before then, we're going to have some playoff baseball because it's looking really good for the Atlanta Braves right now. And we expect good things next week. But I think we're going to stop right there, and we'll call it a day for this podcast. We appreciate you checking in with us each and every week that we do this, and glad if you subscribe to us and keep up with us and keep checking out the content we're trying to crank out on TomahawkTake.com, and hopefully it helps increase your enjoyment of Braves baseball as we are all fans together, and we're hoping for good things to come. So thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
This post-clinching and pre-playoff edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, I think there are medications for that, right? Is a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants, and while Minute Media allows us to sign all the talent we can use, well, you know about our budget. All rights reserved. Two of the musical selections used today come to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. These were pieces by Kevin MacLeod entitled Still Picking and The Fig Leaf Rag, which were modified to fit in the available space. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other musical selections used come via rights already purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, as we promise that we are not moving this podcast team to Las Vegas. We'll see you out there for the next inning.